Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the book of 2 Corinthians, God's Messengers. In this session, we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, power of God's messengers. Let me ask you, why don't electrical devices work without electricity? They're designed to be powered that way. You appreciate electricity when you've experienced it and then it's no longer available. God designed Christians to operate with a very special power. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 for a moment. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. These new creations are powered by grace. Without it, they don't function properly. What is grace? How would you define it if you had to define, if you were asked to define grace? Well, I can tell you my definition. It's explained in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God works in your life as a Christian to give you the desire to do his will and the power to accomplish it. Based on that verse, grace is the desire and power to do God's will. Grace is given to every person. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Grace is a gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Grace received brings more grace. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace. Grace can be resisted. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Listen, electrical devices must be plugged into a power source to work. And Christians must remain plugged in to their power source to operate as God designed them. There's two requirements to operate on grace. Our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at that. These two requirements. First, grace is only given to the humble. Look at verses 1 through 6. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. The Apostle Paul operated in humility. He spoke of his own experience, and yet he told it in the third person. And he waited 14 years to tell it. Notice when he begins to use first person in verse 5. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. Compare that with verse 11:30. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. Why is Paul so careful in this? Look at verse 6. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be, or hears from me. Both James and Peter indicate the requirement of humility in order to receive God's grace. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then second, grace is only revealed by dependence. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above the measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And here is the most important lesson. God allows limitations so we will look to Him. He loves us, so He keeps us from pride. The problem in the church at Corinth was that they became spiritually proud. We all have something that serves to humble us when we tend to think too highly of ourselves. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Paul understood. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. He says a messenger of Satan. Remember Job's experience. God allowed Satan to get into his life. It's like God opened up a gate and let Satan go in and wreak havoc on Job's life. Listen, we can pray for healing or deliverance. Paul prayed 3 times for healing. Jesus prayed for deliverance 3 times in the garden. Sometimes God heals, sometimes God delivers, and sometimes God doesn't say yes. Verse 9 tells us that Christ's grace is sufficient and power increases as weakness grows. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. All things. Human weakness opens the way for more of God's power through grace. Dependence is a difficult lesson for Christians to learn, but it's the most important of all. Notice the difference it makes in a life. Look at verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Paul is now no longer concerned for his physical problems. And here's why. If you go over to Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, he says this, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. The apostle teaches that both life and death are to be Christ-centered. Listen, let me ask you, do you live the Christian life according to God's grace with humility and dependence? Obey even when it doesn't make sense. You have a great day.